It's Friday!
You got a lot of people's attention, maybe for the wrong reasons, but it worked.
Yeah, because I'm in here with you.
Yeah, right. People are going, how could that noise possibly emit from a studio where Bill is?
I wasn't trying to make it be that noise.
I'll have what she's having. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and it's Wendy. Welcome to the show.
I'm embarrassed.
As promised all week long, it's Friday, so congratulations, we've made it. During the crosstalk, we discussed a man who will be our guest in a half an hour, a gentleman named LeVar Ball, who is the CEO of a clothing brand, Big Baller Brand Clothes. But in addition to that, he's the father of three notable basketball players. And Wendy, he has the uncanny ability, anytime he does anything, to be controversial. Anytime he sits down for an interview, there's no rules. Anything can happen. I can't wait to see what happens in a half an hour.
Now, he has professional basketball player sons, right? Lonzo is on the Lakers.
Yeah, one of his sons is a pro, and then two are college age. And one of them got in trouble in China a year ago for, I think I still have to say allegedly, because I don't know if it's been proved or not, but for shoplifting, and it became an international incident. The president stepped in. There's been some exchanges between Mr. Ball and our president.
Our president?
Yeah.
Oh.
The president. So we can talk about that. We can also talk about the fact that not long ago, he said, LeVar Ball said, that if it came down to a one-on-one with himself and Michael Jordan, he would win that contest.
There is no way in hell.
I don't think so either.
Michael Jordan is a phenom.
The best of all time.
You mean Michael Jordan today?
He didn't really specify which version of Michael Jordan, but he's the best that's ever played basketball. So it would be like saying, you know, if I play tennis almost every day. If Roger Federer and I went to the courts, I would probably beat Roger Federer, to which anyone in their right mind would go, I don't think so. So he really does have this ability. Anytime you see him anywhere, he always says something controversial. He'll be here in about 20 or 25 minutes.
That's good for business, though. That gets your business name out there, doesn't it?
I think so.
It's not terrible stuff he's saying or doing.
It's
attention grabbing.
That's what it is. It's attention grabbing.
If we ever start a business, we should get him as our spokesperson.
All right.
Our spokesball.
Yeah, he'd be our spokesball. Yeah, we'll bring that up to him. I'm sure he'll sign on before he leaves.
He doesn't need us.
Last night, a couple of things. Thing number one, I was watching the crowds at Lollapalooza. I wasn't at Lollapalooza, but I was watching it on the news, because I'm now of the age where instead of doing something, I just watch it and I go, yeah, I saw it on the news. So there was a family there, and I had heard rumors of this, but it was fun to see them on the news. So he had a mom, a dad, and three kids all attending Lollapalooza together, and what they maintained was there was something for everybody. One of their kids liked more heavy metal type music. He had something to go to. The two younger daughters had softer, more easier listening music. They had something to go to. There were some older bands, not a lot, but a couple for the parents. And I thought to myself, and I know this is a strange comparison, but I hope you'll appreciate it, Lollapalooza is kind of the food court of music.
Which is surprising that I don't want to go there then.
I know.
And we mentioned yesterday, I'm going to take credit, because I said I know a lot of families that go because there is something
yes.
for everyone. And there truly is.
Yes. Yes.
It's just all those people and porta potties.
Yeah. I'm not sure those things are conducive. I think when you're younger, you're more tolerant of things like that. But as you get older, you go, I don't need this. I can't move. It's 6 inches to my left. There's that guy. This guy's right on this side. I don't want to use a porta potty under any circumstances.
There's some people that love that, though. They go to festivals all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Tastes of this, tastes of that, and they love it.
Yes. I like tastes. I like fests.
Where you can sit down once in a while.
But Lollapalooza is that times 100.
Yes.
You know?
It's very crowded.
It's too overstimulating for me.
But no, I've heard people say that I know this will sound crazy, but I've heard people say that adds to the fun. But
if that's what you're into,
right?
Yeah.
I get, yeah.
If this was around when I was in high school, I bet I would have partaken.
Would you have gone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we used to go to Alpine Valley all the time as a big group.
Right.
We would have done this. I know that. But,
yeah.
You know, I'm old and crabby now.
As opposed to young and crabby?
Shut up. I wasn't crabby when I was younger.
When did the crabs kick in?
When my kids were born.
Mm.
Actually, never mind. I'm not
one order
that.
On the first child, the second order yes. on the second, and then all of a sudden you're full-blown Krabby.
And I mean, at
full
least
Full Metal Krabby.
Lollapalooza had a good turnout because the march certainly didn't. What, 150-ish?
Yeah, they didn't. I don't think they got the numbers they were expecting.
That's
kind of saw
sad.
That coming, didn't you?
Yeah, but with all the, you know, press on it and everything, yes. I'm kind of surprised people didn't just say, okay, I'll do it. Were right. they all at Lollapalooza? Is that why they didn't
no.
join?
No, they were no. all on the Kennedy trying to get out of town yesterday.
So about an hour-ish?
Just under an hour, right?
Was the backup and problem. So it wasn't as bad. Everybody thought
horrendous.
It was going to shut down the entire city.
Yeah.
It did not.
It did not.
So, I still hightailed it out of here as early as
safe.
I could. Yeah.
Yeah, just to be safe.
What?
Let's do this. Let's take a. We'll take a short break. We'll come back, and then there's a lot more. We have some tickets to give away.
Can we do it now?
Yeah, let's do it now.
If you're not going to Lolla, if that's not your thing, and you're a Creed lover, the singer, songwriter, and frontman for the multi-platinum selling band Creed, Scott Stapp, is going to be live in action August 25th, Four Winds Casino, New Buffalo. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. Four Winds Casino, your entertainment escape. We have one pair of tickets, our last pair of tickets to give away to see Scott Stapp. Who's up for it? Caller number 7, 312-981-7200. Jazzy, caller number 7 walks away with our Scott Stapp ticks.
All right, a side bet between you and I, if you're up for this. We're going to have LeVar Ball on right after the news, 10-15 minutes away. Many times when Mr. Ball is interviewed, he gets angry at somebody interviewing him.
It's not going to be me.
There's an interview with Chris Cuomo on CNN where all they do is yell at each other for 15 minutes. It's hysterical. I don't think it was set up that way, but that's how it played out. Chris Cuomo said hello, and that was it. Then they're just yelling at each other. So who will make him mad? Will it be you or will it be me?
I am just going to throw softball things his way. Basketball. That's all I'm doing.
Nerf balls.
I'm
throw
just
Nerf
do
ball
little,
questions at him.
A nice and easy bounce pass. That's all I'm doing today.
Yeah.
So you.
I'm going to get gritty.
No, you're not.
Yes. I got a bunch of hard-hitting questions I'll throw at him. Because it wouldn't be a real interview if he doesn't get mad at one of us.
Maybe we can be the ones to, you know.
To change that
yeah.
shift? All right. Let's see what happens. Yesterday, toward the end of the show, I was talking about a special report that was going to be on Channel 9. Julie Unruh, who is one of the reporters over at Channel 9, had an assignment where she had to go up to the top of a skyscraper. It's the Vista skyscraper, which will soon be one of Chicago's largest buildings. I showed you a building that's a little bit north of us that I thought was the building. That's not it. You know which building it is, Wendy? On the other side of Swiss Hotel, where we are now, if you go down three buildings, there's a building that they're currently working on that's really high up, and it's a strange piece of architecture. Most buildings, you know, have kind of a squared-off look. It's a lot of right angles. You can't really see it from where we are because the Swiss Hotel is blocking it, but you know how all day long we see things
yes.
being carted up by a giant crane?
Like, we always thought it was a piano, somebody lifting a piano so
right.
they could drop it on someone below.
Right, like in a Laurel and Hardy movie.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, so yesterday on Channel 9 News at 10, they showed her, Julie Unruh, who, like I said, is a reporter for Channel 9. She went all the way up to the top of it, and it's not even close to being done.
I just saw, I don't know if I saw a still or a two-second video, and I'm thinking, I would take up the priesthood.
It's on her Facebook page.
I would do anything.
There's no way.
I would become a nanny. I would do
anything.
Well, let's talk to her.
I would love to talk to her because, Wendy, she was absolutely fearless. Like, I watched this report and I said to myself, she's going to go, if they're making her do this, she's going to do it kicking and screaming. She's going to beg them. I'll do
they're
anything.
Not
don't make
you
me go
do
up.
It.
She was more than happy to do it.
She's that type of person. Let's talk to her.
I have so much admiration for her, but I'm also worried for her because you should have some fear being up that high, you know? No one should be able to do that without being scared.
Yeah, well, that was her choice to do it. You know, you went zip lining. I never would do that. It's like they wouldn't just force you to go.
Okay,
it would be a terrible report.
I hope not.
Zip lining is different.
It is way different.
But to me, they're both pretty frightening.
It ziplining was scary, but you could look at it. You could talk like I talked myself into it.
And it was
like,
made
do
for
this.
It was made for civilians to do.
Right. So she went up to the top of this building, this Vista Tower, And she talked to these two guys that are crane operators at the very, very top of it. Not just toward the top, but at the very top. And they work these long, long shifts where they're up there moving heavy materials up there. And the guys said, they said, are you a little nervous of being up there? And both guys went, no, why would we be nervous? Well, it doesn't
well,
make
sense. Well, they do it every day.
Oh.
It's like window washers. I don't know what in the world gives you that thrill.
Would you ever get used to it? Like, even
yes.
if you did, would
if you,
you
did it every day.
Oh. Listen to you. You won't even think about doing it or ziplining, and you're like.
But if I did it, first of all, if I did it, there would be some desire to do it. I would never try something in kicking and screaming.
I've got the heebie-jeebies just thinking about it.
Why do you get little? Just showing it, Steve just said to some extent, as you're watching it, now I'm in the comfort of my living room watching it, where even
holding
if I did.
Holding on to the couch.
I was holding so tight.
He moved to the floor.
Even if I did fall, let's say while I was watching it, I tipped over, I would only fall a couple feet. And I go, oh, that was ridiculous. Why did I fall? But like you're up there, you're gazing at the horizon. And one of the guys goes, oh, it's so beautiful up here. Yeah, it is. But
would you ever skydive?
I used to want to skydive very badly.
Did you ever do it?
I didn't do
Would you do it now?
No, now I wouldn't. There was a time in my life where I would have. But that time has passed. I wouldn't do it now.
All right, because you, as you get older, your fears become more pronounced. Yeah,
yeah,
they do.
Yeah.
There was one year when I was here early in my days, they wanted me to do the wing walk at the Aaron Waters show.
Oh, no, really?
You know, where they would strap you on the wing.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Like, I thought of it briefly, but I'm so tall, I'm thinking the brace won't be big enough for me. There's no way.
See, there are just people that get a thrill out of doing that. I would never do it, but if you did it every day, if that was your job, you'd obviously not have an aversion to it, and you'd get used to it.
One of the guys said that his dad used to do the exact same job, and the first time he brought him up there, he was 8 years old. And I thought, how did that go over at home when the dad brought the son up to the top of a building? And then you have to share that story with mom. How did that play out?
Maybe mom didn't find out till he was in his
30s. Oh, no. But think about that, bringing your kid up to the top of a skyscraper.
I'm not kidding. I just have that queasy feeling just talking with you guys about it.
I don't even like roller coasters. I don't even like, you know, the virtual roller coasters.
Right.
So there's no way I'd do it, but... good for Julianne Rue.
They showed her, all right, so at the very top of the building, you get to the top of the building, and then there's another top beyond that that goes up another, I think it was 3 or 4 floors. So she's climbing the ladder, and they show her just looking down, going, boy, we sure are high up. And I'm screen talking to my in my living room, going, go down the ladder. Don't go up the ladder. Bad things up top. Go down the ladder.
There's a guy on the turret, the very top of the Sheridan. See it?
Yeah, I do see him.
He's window washing right now, just dangling.
Oh, oh.
Oh, he's coming down. There's no way.
I would be frozen. Just absolutely I couldn't move.
Do you ever
move.
Go to the second floor of your house?
I've been up there, yeah.
Right.
A couple of times, yeah.
I'm just curious.
Yeah, it's very queasy. It's a queasy feeling. All right, we'll take a break. We'll get you some news. And then LeVar Ball will join us.
You're the one he's going to punch.
That's how I'm going to start the interview. I'm going to start
with LeVar Burton.
I'll say LeVar.
Oh, God.
You know him as Geordi LaForge from Star Trek. That's how I'll start it. We'll see who he gets mad at. Stick around. That's ahead. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
They're playing basketball.
It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder. Pleased to introduce you to LeVar Ball, the CEO of Big Baller Brand, in town to celebrate the JBA League's All-Star Game held tonight at Quest Multisport at 7 o'clock. We'll give you all your ticket information. Mr. Ball, an honor to meet you, sir.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be here, and thank you guys for having me.
Absolutely. The great thing about you is... there's never any controversy with you.
No, never. See, you understand me. That's what I'm talking about. Chi-Town's finest.
JBA, of course, Junior Basketball Association, which you pretty much got going.
Yes. It's a platform to get these kids who don't want to go the educational route, at least to dream about doing something that they've been doing all their life and they love to do it. Because sometimes you get these vices that doesn't allow you to study in class, but you still have a passion for doing something that you love to do. So this is giving them the opportunities not to get rich, but to give them a platform to get to the next level.
How rewarding must that be for you? You must just love that.
It's very rewarding because I've always helped kids throughout my life.
Yeah.
It's just on a bigger stage right now.
Yeah, right.
So it's something that I do. So it's not like I'm looking for a bunch of investors. Once I have an idea to something, I just go with it. And if it's wholesome and genuine, like I said, it's not for me to say, you know what, I'm going to try to get rich off of all these kids. That's not what it's about.
Right.
Was basketball the first sport you played?
No, you know what? I'm like you, which is I never like watching sports. I just like to play all of them. Like,
I told you
baseball,
off the air.
Football.
Yeah, I played basketball in high school.
It's fun to play instead of watch.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I agree.
So I played all the sports.
You excelled at basketball and football primarily, right?
Oh, whatever sport I played.
Whatever you played.
I could swim. I could flip.
Yeah.
I can dive.
Yeah.
I did everything. I was just an athlete, man. Athlete.
But then when did it come that you wanted to be a criminal lawyer or a U.S. Marshal?
You know,
when did that happen?
I wanted to be a criminal justice because I used to watch way back in the day. This guy was a marshal, and all he did was drop the judge off. I said, man, I'm going in that role right there. So, and that's what I got my degree in. And guess what?
Huh.
Like I tell people, I never used it.
Never used it.
And look, I didn't go to school for marketing and none of this stuff.
Yeah.
All the stuff that I'm doing, it's just me. And that's why I tell people, you don't have to go sit in the university to do something that you have a passion for.
Right. That's
if
so true.
If you love doing it, you're going to find ways to get the right knowledge that you need to do what you need to do.
Yeah. And they're starting to figure it out now. Both my boys have ADHD. And but seriously, kids learn differently.
Right.
Back in the old days, you were told, do this, don't complain. But kids learn differently now.
Yes.
So if there's something that they can turn to that maybe they're not great in the classroom, but they want to take it to the court.
Right. And they're just good at something else. Sometimes kids are blessed to be 6'10", run like athletes, and enjoy playing, which you don't need to pass a chemistry test and a Spanish test if you're not. Just like, let me tell you what I was telling a guy the other day. They said, well, LeVar, the kids are getting a free education. Okay, if they athletes, how about you give them a lifelong nutritionist and a gym pass, a 24-hour, something that they can use for their athleticism, as opposed to, say, I do this show and I'm going to pay you in donuts. You're like, what am I going to do with free donuts?
Right.
It's because I give you something free doesn't mean it's good.
Right.
It's for you.
And I mean, listen, I'm not against school at all, and college is great.
Right.
But they're not going to use their arithmetic if they're going to be a professional. Although, not all those people are going to go on to be professional athletes.
Right. You know what?
When they need a backup.
Go to the backup after you finish doing it.
I guess.
You need a backup for basically anything.
Right.
Unless you're just going forward and do what you want to do.
Yeah.
So put yourself in that same frame of mind and you're fine. I'm not knocking education or nothing like that.
Right.
But my famous saying is built for this. So if you really want to do something, you will find a way to get it done.
Oh, sure. What do you think of LeBron James's move? He built a school, essentially. He's getting kids in the school.
That's something good to do on the fact that he has so much money, and he came up a different way.
Yeah.
So he was like, you know, I'm going to give back to somebody.
Yeah.
I mean, what else can you do when you got that much, that many millions of dollars?
Spread it out.
You got to spread it out.
Yeah.
You can't die with it, so you might as well create some things to help others.
For people who don't know your story, and it's an amazing story, you currently have three sons that are pretty good at basketball.
Oh, yes.
They're pretty good.
Yes.
You must be very proud.
I'm very proud on the fact that growing up I could have easily invested in some real estate or something like that, but I figured, you know what, I'm gonna have an unlimited account where I ain't gonna have to say, you know what, you guys better pay me back. But millions of dollars have been spilled throughout the years, but if I invest in my kids, it's something that's mine,
sure,
which allows me to not put a date on it when you're gonna have a return or something like that. It's not about that.
Okay, I have two boys. They fight constantly. They're teenagers. You have three boys that are pretty great basketball players. What's the fighting like when they were growing up?
You know what? My boys never fight.
I don't believe you.
Well, let me tell you this. I told them this at the end of the day. I said, let's say you get in a fight or something. Why are you going to beat up the help?
Yeah,
so
that's
if you're
a good point.
Run home and say you need both of your brothers, don't test them.
Right.
And I always told them, you know, I gave them a story which sounds crazy as heck. And they believe this to the day now. I said, you know what? What happens if a guy is driving in a van and he throws one of you guys in the van? What are you other two going to do?
Yeah.
They said, Dad, we're going to come get you. I said, by the time you come get me, they already messed up the other one.
Yeah.
So how about all three of y'all jump in the van, because I don't want two of y'all coming back saying he got one.
That's perfect.
So they believe
they
in themselves.
Together
they stick together all their life, because I told them at the end of the day, when I'm gone, your mom's gone, it's only going to be you three.
And someone's going to need a kidney.
If you don't take care of your brothers, who will?
That's so true.
So they believe in
that,
and that's how they roll.
Yeah. Any regrets you didn't have two more boys? Then you could have fielded an entire team.
That's what everybody said. But at least, you know what? I got whatever my wife could give me, which was three healthy boys.
Yeah.
And it was just a great thing.
Yeah.
You know. Because I don't think she was put on this earth to have like 5 and 10 kids.
I can answer for her. No, yeah, she wasn't.
She wasn't. Right. Some people just not. You know. Right. And, you know. Sometimes it's kind of weird where you have people that could take care of kids,
mm-hmm,
and can't have a lot of kids,
mm-hmm,
and then you have kids, people that can't take care of them can have them so easy. Like,
isn't that crazy?
You got 8 easy, no problems.
Yeah. Yeah.
My wife had a couple of times before we had the boys. And I knew, I was like, but don't worry about it.
Yeah.
She'll be fine. I said, we're going to get 3 boys. Don't worry about it.
Good.
That's how we roll. So
I want to see you with a little girl.
Everybody wanted to see me with a girl, but boys running my family. So my dad has 10 brothers and 2 sisters.
Wow.
And it's 5 boys in our family and 2 girls. So I told my wife, you might have to try to have 8 kids before you have 1 girl. You better leave that alone.
And knowing her luck, they'd all be boys.
They're all boys. She's got boys, though.
Boys are great. And they're kind of rough and tumble, but as they get older, I'm hoping they're easier. Bill has 2 daughters. Wow. And
it's been good.
Hey, that's
no
good.
Complaints.
Yeah. You can't have no complaints, but you know what? Nobody's going to be good enough for daddy's girl. I don't care how you are.
That's totally true.
That's very true. I need to ask you a favor.
Yes.
I only know the go-between you and the president from watching it on TV, but you lived it.
Yeah.
What do you think? What do you make of it? And for people who don't know the backstory, tell a little bit of what went on to lead to a clash.
Well, people to the backstory, I didn't even know he tweeted. Somebody had told me, like, hey, man, did you hear what Trump said? And I was like, no. Nah.
Mm-hmm.
Say he helped with the whole situation over there in China. I said, hell no.
Mm-hmm.
I said, how you going to say you helped and you never shook my hand and say, hey, Mr. Ball, I'm coming over here directly for your son.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just pop over and then try to ride on the curtails of the Balls.
One of your boys was being detained in China on the suspicion that he was shoplifting.
That was Jello. My middle son. On the fact that the Ball name coming from UCLA, they wanted to blow it up bigger than what it was.
Mm-hmm.
It's like he knew he did something wrong, and everybody's like, well, do you think he learned from it? No, he learned before he even did it.
Mm-hmm.
He knew better.
He knew better. And it wasn't for me to go over there and say, why'd you do this, son? I didn't raise you like this. He already in a bad spot.
Right.
But I knew he was going to get a pass on that, on the fact that he's never done anything wrong.
Right.
So you shouldn't, chastise him for one mistake. Everybody's made a mistake.
Yeah. And people do stupid things. Yes. We all act without thinking.
It was stupid after he did it. He was like, man, why'd I do this? Yeah. And like I've told him, I'm from L.A. South Central. So people were saying, I was saying it's not a big deal on the fact that he confessed. He didn't use a gun.
Right.
He gave him back.
Right.
I've seen some of my friends, 16, 17 years old, growing up in South Central, get killed, go to jail for life. So it's deeper things than,
I
got some sunglasses.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm like, man, y'all talking to the wrong guy, because I've seen some kids, man, it's terrible.
But then the president got involved through a series of tweets, and then you responded quickly.
I responded quickly on the fact that I was like, if you're coming to get somebody, take them back in your plane.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Air Force One, baby.
Like, don't be like, I'm coming over here. That's just like me coming to the station and say, hey, Bill, Wendy, I'm about to pick you guys up, and I get in and be like, get a ride with somebody.
Right.
Uber it.
Yeah, Uber it. I thought you was coming to get me. I was just, don't lie about it. If I was going to thank anybody, I would have thanked the guy that was the president that was over there.
Right, right.
But don't try to make a story out of something that's really nothing.
Yeah.
Just to say, I went over here and got. Now, if you would have been in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
and then called me and said, LeVar, I'm coming right now to mm-hmm. get your son. Now I'm going to say thank you.
Yeah.
But I'm only going to thank people in person. I don't thank just because you come up and say you did something for me.
Right, right, right.
Did you ever think in a million years the president of the United States would be tweeting about you and you would tweet back to him? Did you ever think in a million years?
Here's the thing. I never tweeted back to him. I got other folks to do that. I don't tweet. I got other things to do. And like I said, you pay attention to the political thing and let me do my thing.
Yeah.
He's a president. He should have been doing something else.
Yeah.
Don't worry about what the big ball is doing. I mean, come on.
There's a lot of things going on.
All right,
good point.
And how doesn't Dennis Rodman get involved in this? He's in Korea working on stuff. How is he not involved in this? It's very upsetting.
Dennis Rodman is irrelevant. That's why he got to do some crazy things around here and just say some controversial things. Because like I told him, he's over there with one of the presidents, and I told him it's always nice to have a clown on standby.
Wow.
He probably wasn't offended by that either.
He thought he's a gesture.
Yeah.
It's all good to tote one of them around with you. Just when you're feeling down, tell him to do something.
It was fun when we had him here in Chicago for a while.
I know y'all had a blast.
Michael Jordan.
Yes.
Let's talk. One of the best basketball players of all time.
The greatest basketball player of all time.
All right.
Yes. You just can't beat me one-on-one.
That's the part we were curious about.
One-on-one,
now, is it modern-day Michael Jordan or is it heyday Michael Jordan?
He can come anytime. In my heyday, he couldn't see me.
Really? Yeah.
No, I was too fast and too strong to play one-on-one. That's why the game played 5-on-5. That's why I play. If one-on-one, I would have been a champion of the world. Never lost.
So have your people tweeted to him to try and set this up? Why is he not taking you up on this?
Even if he set it up now, there's no way he could beat me. He's 54. I'm 50. Yeah. I ain't going to let no 54-year-old man beat me.
Even though that 54-year-old is Michael Jordan.
I don't care. He still smoke a cigar and he out of shape. I'm out of shape, but I ain't that out of shape. He 4 years out of shape on me.
So let's say he bid on this.
Bid on it, I'll play him right now.
Would you? Yeah.
Yes.
And not a second of nervousness?
That's why I got my stuff on today, just in case he in Chicago and say something. He might pull up and one of his fans across me like, LeVar, I had enough. Then I'm going to say, hey, let's make sure we get this pay-per-view because everybody been looking for this.
All right, hypothetically, let's say this goes down. But Michael Jordan says to you, I'll play your game, but I want it 2-on-2. And I pick, he can pick LeBron James, he can pick Scottie Pippen. Who would you pick as your number two?
As my number two?
Yeah.
Oh, shoot, Jello.
Would it be your son?
Yes, my son.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That'd be tough.
You got to kill both of us on that court.
I want to see this now.
We want to see it. Wendy and I want tickets.
He's got to be strong.
Oh, would that be something?
You got to be strong. People, man.
Who's, you said Michael Jordan is the best of all time. Yes. Who's the best playing in the NBA right now?
The best playing in the NBA right now? Come on, man. I'm biased.
Is he related to you, maybe?
No, the best in the game right now is LeBron James.
He is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
LeBron James is the best on the fact that he's stronger than everybody.
Yeah.
So who's ever the biggest and the strongest at that time?
Mm-hmm.
It's just like Will Chamberlain. He was stronger and faster than
everybody. Yes.
Shaquille O'Neal, same thing.
Yeah.
So when you get
I
these
like
guys.
Julius this Irving. Yeah. Dr. J was great.
Yeah, he was good. He was like Charles Barkley,
mm-hmm.
which is good as entertainment value,
mm-hmm.
but not in the winning stage where you're just like, man, I got to win, win, win.
Why can't Shaq hit a free throw? What the hell is up with
his
that?
His hands are too big. So it's like, tell everybody to shoot with a golf ball and watch everybody's percentage go down. That's why Shaq's hands are too big, so it's like a barely touch.
You're hands right. They're big. Giants.
So hey, tell everybody that's playing right now, shoot all their free throws like shoot a tennis ball. Watch how many you miss.
Yeah. That's a great point.
Yeah, I'm trying to tell you.
Let's take a break, and then more with LeVar Ball. I have to tell you, I expected a version of you that you're not that guy.
What? Oh, no, only the haters paint a different picture, man.
Because I saw the Chris Cuomo interview, and I don't know. You lived it, so you don't know. You know.
We're not like that, though.
I hope.
You know what? The talks that go bad is people with different hidden agendas.
Yeah.
Because if you ask me something crazy, then I'm going to tell you something crazy.
Yeah.
But you guys are just wholesome and down to earth and not trying to hide nothing. So let me ask you a question. So it feels like we just met on the street and we're just talking. It's the same thing.
That's how it's supposed
to be. Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's more genuine like this.
Good. LeVar Ball is our guest. We will give you all the information about the JBA League. It's tonight at Quest Multisport, located at 2641 West Harrison Street in Chicago. It starts at 7 o'clock. We'll give you all those details next. So stick around. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
All right, we are chatting with the very pleasant LeVar Ball, CEO of Big Baller Brand. I'm on your website right now, and there's some cool sweatshirts I might be ordering.
Oh, cool.
You are in town because tonight it's the JBA, the Junior Basketball Association League's All-Star Game.
Yes.
It's going to be at Quest Multisport, 2641 West Harrison Street in Chicago, 7 o'clock. If you can't make it, you can go to the JBA Facebook page. You guys are going to stream that live?
Yes.
What are we going to see there tonight?
You're going to see some exciting, fun basketball. It's going to be very fast. And like I said, these kids play with a different passion and different pride on the fact that they feel like this is their last chance to do something that they love to do. So they play a little different.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to, let's say you're at a university, you got a schedule, you lose, go to a frat party, do some other things. These guys play like it's their last game. And it's just beautiful.
Do some of them have a chance, though, of going on
you know
to
what?
Continue?
Out of the 64, we have about 10 to 12 guys that has a chance to go to the NBA.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I have one kid, man, named Curtis Hollis. And listen to this story right here. Kid 6'8", plays like Scottie Pippen. Didn't have a computer at home, so didn't turn in the paperwork to go to college.
Mm.
His mom and him didn't, so he missed it.
That's heartbreaking.
How do you can't do the paperwork?
That's horrible.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, the NCAA is for kids who go and play in high school and play in college, but where do the others turn?
And another guy that we got, this 6'11", I don't know how he plays, but people don't know his sister passed. That was real close to him. So now he's sitting in class, and it looks like he don't care, but he's thinking about his sister.
His mind is elsewhere.
Yeah, but he loves basketball. So now you're not performing in class, that doesn't allow you to get on the court.
Oh, that's
right. But when he gets on that court with us, man, he plays like it's the last thing, and he just it just brings something to him.
Yeah.
That's not thinking about, okay, I lost my sister.
Yeah.
But a lot of people don't know the back. I have 64 kids, and every one of them has a story.
I'm sure of it.
So it's very touching, and it's very amazing that these guys can use basketball as an outlet for certain things instead of just being stable and doing some bad things.
Unfortunately, everyone has a story, and that's why we shouldn't judge anyone.
Right, because you don't know.
You don't know.
Yeah. Just some of them just, you know, they have different vices where you can't.
What do you make of this? I'm not the first person to tell you this story. Right. I'm sure you've heard it 1,000 times. People say that for kids who are looking at basketball as a way out of the inner city, it's unrealistic because it's such a numbers game, and realistically, such a small percentage will make it out. Where do you stand on that?
I stand, you know what, if you built for this and you really that guy, do it. Do something. Don't
at least
just,
try.
At least, thank you. And people are stuck on that. You take a risk at anything you do. It's just not a high risk.
Mm-hmm.
But if let's say you're not the smartest guy, but you're 6'10", and you can run and you love basketball, why not use that as a vehicle?
So right.
Say, no, I'm not going to use it. I'm just going to go to books and I'm going to be super smart. But you don't love to study.
Yeah.
So it's never going to work. You got to have a passion for something. Like I tell my boys and everybody that's young, I say the key to life is not making millions of dollars. I think the key to life is finding something that you have a passion for. And if you happen to get paid for it,
that's a bonus.
You won. It's just like if you don't love coming on here and talking to different people and meeting different people, this job is going to suck if you're looking at the clock.
You're right.
That's why I don't wear no watch. People be asking me what time it is. I say, I don't know. I'm doing my thing. I ain't on no time schedule.
It's ball era time.
It's just like this right here. I enjoy talking to people. It's just entertainment when you look at it. So it's all good. Now, I get to do it with my family.
So I know, LeVar, if I go to the Big Baller website, are there watches being sold on there?
I don't have no watches.
No watches anywhere. No, good. No, I like that.
You on Big Baller time.
You are nothing like what I expected.
Which is a compliment.
I really thought there'd be some clashes and stuff, and you're the nicest guy. Is being controversial good for business or bad for business?
You know what? It's both. Anytime you're in the entertainment, you're going to have 50% of people like you, 50% not.
Yeah.
So whatever you say,
it's
going to be good or bad.
Right.
And it's just something to talk about when you go to work.
That's it.
And that's how that makes me controversial.
But if there wasn't social media, we wouldn't know about all this.
Somebody's
going to
tell you around the corner and say, LeVar is talking crazy. You got to hear this dude. Next thing you know. But when people get to know me, you get all these bites that you see in the media or a little, you don't get the whole story.
Yeah.
Right. And it's just taken out of context sometimes.
And then when you take it a lot out of context and you put it all together, it makes this cruel guy. And then you'd be like, man, I don't like that guy at all. And until you meet me, you'd be like, wow, man, wait a minute.
Right.
You ain't the guy that they portrayed right here. It's different.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
So it's all good. But the key to this, like I said, as long as I know what I'm about and know what my boys is about, I'm good.
Because
a lot of people going to say a lot of other things, you know, but they know what I'm about. And I know what they're going to say. They know what I'm going to say. And they know how I am. So it's not like, Dad, can you tone it down? Be different.
Right.
You know, that's what everybody
has that
saying.
Been said? Have the boys ever said that?
Everybody says that, but my boys are not raised like that.
Yeah.
It's just my dad.
That's how you guys are raised. You could be like, hey, Dad, I don't think things are going right. You need to calm down. I've been training some kids to tell their mom and dad, be quiet while I'm training. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Even my sons had to look. I was like, y'all do that to your parents. But being black, we raise a little more stern because you got usually 7 kids in the ghetto and your voice is very strong. My dad's very strong. So it's not like, Dad, check this out.
Right.
How about we sit down and we talk about it? What? You paying rent? Yes, son. You know, so you feed people, you're going to feed the family today, right?
Yeah.
You know? So if I say something and Zoe don't like it or whatever, they'll just go their separate way.
Yeah. That's how it is.
I wish we were outside. I would challenge you to a game of horse.
Man, and you know what? You would lose.
I know. So man. Would Jordan.
Shoot.
All right, tonight is the night. It's the JBA League's All-Star Game. Quest Multisport, 2641 West Harrison Street, 7 o'clock sharp. If you can't be there, go to the JBA Facebook page. Is there a website, too, to if people want more information?
JBA. Yes, just go to JBALeague.com.
Perfect. Such a pleasure to meet you.
It's a pleasure to meet you and Bill, and I had a wonderful time today. And Wendy, they didn't tell me I was going to be talking to a pretty girl today.
Gosh, thank you.
That's I can't say that for you, Bill, because I don't judge guys. So I hope your wife says you look good, and we're good from there.
I can live with that. Thanks, LeVar.
Thank you so much.
It's LeVar Ball, everybody. We'll take a quick break.
No, we're going to go right to news. Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago.
Steve, thanks so much. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. It's Friday, so we will now be talking television with Alexander Zeldin. Alexander works over at TheDecider.com, a great website if you like entertainment news or television news. How are you, Alexander? Nice to have you.
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me back.
If you wouldn't mind, a quick update. Last week, as we were presenting this segment with you, we got word about the head of CBS, Les Moonves, being, challenged in that they thought that he had conducted himself improperly with women.
Mm-hmm.
Where did things stand there?
Well, they've only progressed ever so slightly at this point. You know, there was an article in The New Yorker from Ronan Farrow who broke a lot of the stuff around Harvey Weinstein about inappropriate content from, contact from Les Moonves, as you mentioned, over a span of decades at this point. CBS has very slowly come around to taking some sort of action. Les Moonves is still there. He's still in charge of CBS. But the first step that they did was they are putting together an independent investigation, basically getting a third party to look into the charges. But at the same time, where a lot of these things, when they've come up, you've seen the person immediately step down or make some sort of statement about it. Les Moonves hasn't said anything. He's still there. He's still at his job. This investigation will go on, and whatever it finds, we'll find. But right now, at least at CBS, other than this, everything's the same.
Julie Chen, his wife, defended him on, was she on?
On The Talk?
Yeah, I don't know which one she was. But
yeah.
And maybe, listen, if I was innocent, I wouldn't step down. I really wouldn't. I'd say do your investigation. It seems weird that why didn't they make him step down or put him off in the sidelines until this was investigated?
You know, it's a little tough to say. One of the things that makes it very complicated is arguably Les Moonves is CBS. You know, there's not really that many celebrity network runners at this point, but Les Moonves is the face of CBS. He's been the biggest champion of CBS for decades now. So even if, in a far-reaching possibility, every single thing was 100% absolutely true, I could still see them wanting to be business as usual as much as possible, particularly for CBS, which is a very old-school network, while all of these investigations go on. But again, that's a big F.
What do you make of Stephen Colbert a day or so after the allegations were made public? Stephen Colbert spent quite a bit of time on his show condemning that sort of behavior and the people who do it. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember him mentioning Les Moonves by name, but if you saw the segment, you knew exactly who he was talking about. And that's essentially his boss.
Yeah, I honestly would say, in my opinion, good on him for doing that. You know, that he is, whether late night is, you know, waning at this point, whether it's gotten spread around with the rise of so many other networks and so many late night shows, it's still a mouthpiece for an organization in a very different way. And having Colbert get out front of that, being honest about his feelings about it, and as you mentioned, not mentioning Les Moonves, because I'm sure legally he can't, I think he did the right thing there. It would have been an elephant in the room otherwise, and getting out front of it was the right thing to do.
Still, there had to have been a moment where Stephen Colbert and his producers are in the office going, if we bring this to the show, what's going to happen behind the scenes? Is Les Moonves going to call him in at some point and go, that can't go on. I'm still your boss. I'm still the president of CBS. Do you think that happened?
There had to be a discussion behind the scenes, 100%. I'm sure they could not have done that segment without clearing it first. And I think ultimately, to the point you brought up earlier, he didn't mention Les by name. He is condemning the behavior. If you go in the other direction with the assumption that Les Moonves is 100% innocent, then there should be no skin off his back for Colbert coming out and saying this behavior is deplorable.
Yep.
I can't pay attention to this anymore because all I can think about now is I read news that they may be rebooting ALF. That's all I can think about, and that's all I want to talk about.
Very equal issues, I think.
Sure. Also controversial.
Yes, it is. A lot of people are very upset about this, and I would come down to say it's very early days with any sort of ALF reboot at this point. They don't have a showrunner. They don't have writers. They don't have producers. They don't even really have a concept. They got a puppet. Basically, the joke that I put out on Twitter is I think there's probably a lot of stray cats on the Warner Brothers lot. They didn't know how to deal with the problem, and they thought, bring ALF back.
Yeah.
That's what we got to do.
Yeah.
So at this point, it's just Warner Brothers kind of looking into it. To be honest, I think there's a lot of love for ALF, as you mentioned. I don't think they would do a... Like, also, a lot of people joked on Twitter, a gritty CW-style reboot or anything like that. But continuing the show, having a lovable ALF deal with the modern world in some way might be a lot of fun.
I'm sorry.
Wendy's very excited to hear this, Alex. Very excited.
Well, it was a strange thing. You read about all these reboots, and right. Then ALF was one of them. I know we've heard about a Frasier reboot as well.
But with some possible problems, right, Alex? We don't know now.
Yeah, it's a little back and forth. It's not all gloom and doom if you are looking forward to a Frasier reboot. Basically, at this point, Kelsey Grammer is iffy on it, is how I would characterize it. He's not totally opposed to the idea, but he wants to make sure that if they do it, that he does it in the right way. And particularly when you think about it, one of our great writers, and honestly one of the greatest sitcom writers I've ever read for our site, Brett White, his knowledge about sitcoms is insane, mentioned that in his article about it, that Grammer has played Frasier 8 seasons on Cheers and 11 seasons on Frasier. So to go back to that well again and say, great, let me just do this for a bunch more years, that's a big thing. But at the same time, he also mentions in the same article that time-wise, Frasier's son Frederick is about 30 years old now. So if you think about it from the John Mahoney, Kelsey Grammer dynamic on Frasier, if you translate that to Frasier and his own son, that would actually be a really interesting thing for a reboot. But we'll have to see what happens.
That's the scenario that is the most exciting. I've heard other ideas thrown around, but the one you just mentioned, that's a good idea. It's exactly what we were used to seeing, but one generation advanced. I'd love to see that.
Yeah, and one of the other things about Frasier is it's a show that was good throughout. There's a lot of shows that kind of flag in the last couple of seasons, but to think about how long it ran and it kept up the quality throughout, to see it again might actually be a really good thing.
Absolutely. All right, more with Alex Zelbin right after this. Stick around. It's Bill Leffin. It's Wendy Snyder on WGN. It's Bill and Wendy with you on WGN. Our guest is Alexander Zelbin. He is the managing editor of Decider.com, a great website if you're a fan of entertainment and entertainment news. Alex, help me through this. People have suggested that if the deal goes through where Disney buys Fox, that The Simpsons could be displaced because Disney wouldn't want somebody else's animation on their network. That can't be right, can it?
It's not, actually, as it turns out. You know, we're in the middle of the Television Critics Association tour where all the networks present their new schedules, their new shows to television critics. One of our writers, Kayla Cobb, is out there right now. She's actually about to jump into the FX day. But yesterday was the Fox day, and of course they were right up front, right at the beginning, about the whole merger, and said that basically not much is going to change. At least that's the plan right now in terms of Disney taking over Fox. They're referring to it as a quote-unquote new Fox, which is not an official name, but that's what they're going with at the moment. And they said that programs like The Simpsons will most likely continue on Fox because it's such a part of the brand. They don't want to change too much. If I was to speculate beyond what they said, the big thing that most likely will happen is you have this forthcoming Disney video on demand service, and you'll probably see things like The Simpsons that have a really huge back catalog of episodes going over to that. So you'll be able to watch the old episodes there instead of potentially things like FX Plus or FX Now. But in terms of watching it on the channel, I think you'll be fine. You won't have to change too much.
Good. Very good news.
Looking very forward to Monday, Better Call Saul, the season premiere. I have to say, I loved Breaking Bad. And when Bob Odenkirk and Saul showed up on that show, I'm like, this show is so serious. He's just this foil, and I don't know if it fits. And now I ended up liking Better Call Saul better than Breaking Bad.
Hmm.
Mm. I have to agree with you completely. I cannot believe it, but the show is wonderful. It's phenomenal. It's a beautiful show. It's a slow show, but the way that I was talking with somebody about it the other day around the office is it's purposeful.
Yeah.
That there's a lot of shows that have now in the age of peak TV have just very long and targeted looks, but they don't really feel like anything. They feel like they're supposed to be saying something. Everything in Better Call Saul means something. And without spoiling anything, I've actually seen the first couple of episodes of the next season, and it's as good as ever, if not better. Breaking Bad fans are going to freak out about the things that happen throughout the course of the episodes. Again, no spoilers. And in particular, it isn't exactly that the show has been sleeping on Ray Seahorn, who plays Bob Odenkirk's female opposite on the show, but if this season does not win her an Emmy just based on the episodes I've seen alone, there is no justice in the world.
And she started out slow in my book too, like, boy, she has a very deadpan delivery and I'm not really a fan, and then she totally grew on me to where she just blossomed in just such a fantastic character.
Yeah, there were, if you watch the show, there were some big events that happened at the end of the last season.
Yeah.
A major character died. Her character ended up in this awful car accident. And they don't let go of that in the first couple of episodes. They deal with it and delve into it and the emotional weight of all that. And in particular, a lot of it is on her and on her character. And it's beautiful, heartbreaking work. It's wonderful.
Where'd she come from, Alex? I don't know that I'd ever seen her in anything else, anything before the show. I'm usually pretty good at noticing actors and actresses like that, but I never saw her before. She came out of nowhere, and she's really good.
She was a comedian. She sort of bounced around for a while. She was on Whitney, the Whitney Cummings show,
yeah,
for a couple of years. She was on a show called I'm With Her, and Head Cases and other things. But like you said, this was something where she popped onto Better Call Saul and suddenly completely blossomed.
Yeah.
She's wonderful. I'm
good.
A big fan.
That's
I'm going to wrap myself in aluminum foil and one of those blankets and watch
the
upcoming episodes.
Way to do it. That's by far the best. For fans of 24, it may be coming back, but it may be coming back twice. Explain.
Again, this is from the Fox TCA day. It seems like they're not totally clear on what they want to do, other than the fact that they love 24 and want to keep making it forever, whether it involves Kiefer Sutherland or not. Right now, there's two ideas. One of them is a 24 prequel that would focus on Jack Bauer and what brought him up to the beginning of 24. And then the other one, which I think is actually really more interesting and much weirder, is a legal drama in the style of 24 and in the world of 24. So where you've had Jack Bauer, and then in 24 Legacy, you had Corey Hawkins' character kind of jumping around the world and fighting people. This would follow the legal repercussions of all those things, or at least that's the idea. And that's almost weird enough to work, I think.
Would the gimmick still be there that each episode, each one-hour episode, is 1 hour of a 24-hour day, or are they scrapping that idea?
They don't know, but my guess is they would keep it, just because I remember them talking about 24 Legacy when that came out, and they felt like that was such a part of the DNA of the series that they really can't lose that conceit.
Right.
So I think that'll remain integral going forward.
I always thought, to make that gimmick realistic, let's say you sleep 6 or 7 hours out of the day, 6 or 7 episodes should just be your main character just sleeping. Wouldn't that be funny?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, for that, you can watch Big Brother, I guess.
I love that show, and I'm not caught up. So what will happen to Julie Chen if something happens to Les Moonves?
Oh.
And by the way, someone has texted us and said, Bill and the Decider, which is, of course, Alex Zalman, who works for Decider.com. It said that Colbert definitely did name Moonves.
Did he? I didn't remember him saying the name. That's more interesting if he said
it
the
is.
Name. Wow.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Tim Allen has been in the news lately. Yesterday, he was kind of defending Roseanne Barr and talking about it. Did you get a chance to hear any of his quotes?
I did. We wrote it up for the site a little bit. You know, he's he's being upfront again. This is stuff from TCA. They're talking about Last Man Standing, which is bumping from ABC over to Fox. They talked a little bit about how the show will change or not now that's on Fox. Basically, they're not going to come right out and say he's a Trump supporter, but he's definitely going to be conservative as he was previously on the show. They also talked about how their pickup of Last Man Standing was specifically because of the success of Roseanne, which led into this conversation where he talked about, I know Roseanne, I've known her well. He said some weird things about her being the most diverse person he knows, which doesn't really make sense for a person. And he also said some pretty, frankly, without getting too rough about it, wrote things for older comedians about who's making up these rules about comedy, lamenting PC culture, etc. So it wasn't anything too shocking, particularly if you've been following Tim Allen's career in the past couple of years. But he also didn't outright come out and say, I support what Roseanne said about Valerie Jarrett or anything like that. And thank God for Fox that he didn't.
He's sticking with the fact that his show got canceled because he is a fan of Donald Trump's. He's sticking by that.
That's so not true. I don't know why it was, though. Weren't the ratings stellar for that show? That's what confuses me.
The ratings were very good. It was, I believe, the number two comedy on TV at the time. But frankly, in terms of broadcast TV, ratings are not great overall. You know, you have cable, you have streaming, you have everything bifurcating where people are watching TV. So frankly, even if he had a really popular comedy, that doesn't mean that it was right for ABC going forward. And ABC is changing a lot of its programming going into the new season. They're changing both from the drama and the comedy side. Fox as well pivoted away from one-camera comedies and back to three-camera comedies. So there's a lot of changes going on, and honestly, I would point more towards overall network things rather than anybody's particular political leanings.
Tell Tim Allen that. We already know that. Call him as soon as we're done with you. Call Tim Allen and tell him that.
Why do people like him
right
so
after
much?
We get off.
I liked Tool Time when it was on. I mean, it was funny, but it's kind of the same delivery of what he's doing with Last Man Standing. I've watched a couple episodes. It's okay, but I just don't understand the big...
I'm baffled by it, too. Yeah. But it has been very popular, but I'm confused by it myself. Alex, great to talk to you. And again, if you had to pick something big to watch this week, it's probably Better Call Saul right over on AMC.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're not caught up, go binge the season. It's all on Netflix right now, leading into the fourth season, which premieres on Monday. It's fantastic. You won't regret it.
Good.
And Preacher's getting very weird and dark. So if you want a weird and dark Betty Buckley, jump on board. I'm sorry. I love that show. I love it.
Yeah, basically, turn your TV on AMC and never turn it off.
That's the way to be it. All right. Well, thanks, Alex. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend. It's Alexander Zelman from Decider.com. We'll take a quick break, get you some news, and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Who doesn't like to get attention?
Is this Bruno Mars?
Correct.
He's one of your headliners today, Wendy, at the Lollapalooza.
I saw, I want to give credit where credit is due because I believe, I think it was NBC, and I'm sorry if it wasn't. Mm-hmm. The graphic, as they were talking, the Foo Fighters were at Wrigley Field for two nights.
Right.
And it said, Food Fighters take
Food Fighters
over the north side. And it cracked me up.
Well, they were very close.
Yes.
But I think even Dave Grohl would have a chuckle at that. did you see this controversy? There's people very upset because in this new movie, Christopher Robin, which looks good to me. I don't need to see it immediately. It's one I can certainly wait, I'm sure, for it to come out on DVD or the cable.
It looks good.
It looks fine, you know. But there's people that don't want to bring their kids to it because, and I love this reason, Winnie the Pooh is not wearing pants.
Okay. This is such a non-story. Is that really true?
Yeah, he's never worn pants.
He's never had it.
He's not a he's a stuffed animal.
That's what makes him lovable.
Is that he doesn't wear pants?
Of course.
Although
he's got a cute little tushy.
When Steve Bertrand does that in the newsroom, everyone complains.
Then we run.
Yeah, everyone's upset.
Well, this is what's weird is it's half animated and half for reals, right?
Yes.
Have you seen C-3PO and Winnie the Pooh at the same time?
C-3PO also does not wear pants.
Right, and they...
Oh,
bother R2? They sound exactly alike.
Why are they hanging out?
No, I think they're the same people.
Figuratively, because they don't wear pants.
They sound exactly alike. Oh, bother.
Anthony Daniel. No, it's different guys doing their voices, but they're similar.
I know. It was kind of a joke. Oh, you don't kidding? Have to. Oh. Well, they sound very similar to me. I know they're different people, but have you seen them in the same movie? No, you weren't.
No.
You're just trying to flex your trivial muscle.
Yes. Celebrities without pants for 300, Alex. The guy who's doing Winnie the Pooh's voice is not
the
original. No,
sure sounds like it.
Sterling Holloway.
Oh, Jesus.
Come on. You're not impressed by I know that. Sterling Holloway, Winnie the Pooh, is no longer amongst us. But the guy who's doing his voice, he's nailed it.
Was the guy who did Winnie the Pooh's voice in a bunch of Alfred Hitchcock presents? Yes, I know exactly.
He's been
white
in a
hair.
Lot of stuff. Yeah, he used to be on Get Smart all the time. Yeah, and it's weird. A lot of
times, it's a weird voice.
Well, it's a very distinctive voice, but a lot of times when you're used to hearing a certain actor's voice, like the guy who did Fred Flintstone's voice was a guy named Alan Reed, who was also in other movies. And every time I ever saw him in a movie, not playing Fred Flintstone, I'd be frozen going, how can that be? That's a human being sounding like that, not a cartoon caveman sounding like that.
Wally Cox
did
Underdog. So then you'd see him on The Tonight Show or something.
Hollywood Squares all the time.
And I would envision Underdog.
Right. He also rarely wore pants.
Underdog
Actually,
or Wally Cox?
Both. Neither of them ever wore pants. I'm trying to remember. Did Underdog wear pants? I don't think he did. Donald Duck never wore pants. Bill Clinton never wore pants.
I was going to say one of them's a cartoon. They're all cartoons. Cartoons, you don't have to wear pants.
Right. That's the beauty. That's one of the benefits of being a cartoon. Is you do not have to wear pants. You can if you want to. I don't think Yogi Bear wore pants, did he?
No, he just wore a hat. Did.
A lot of times, like the clothing choice of a cartoon as opposed to us real people is they will wear hats or bow ties or both, but pants are not that big of a deal in the cartoon.
Let's dress it up a bit and maybe they won't notice.
That's what makes them so lovable. They have the option of wearing pants.
Parents are really, that's the thing.
Yeah. Here's a story out of, this is from theyahoo.com. While the new movie Christopher Robin is a fresh take on the beloved Winnie the Pooh story, this time, of course, concentrating on Christopher Robin as an adult, certain things endure. You have Eeyore's doom and gloom, Tigger's bounce-tastic, the wonderful thing about Tigger's song.
Who's that guy? Paul Winchell?
That was very impressive, yes. He was Tigger.
He's great.
He was Tigger. But all these guys are gone. Like Piglet was a guy named John Fiedler. He is long gone. I'm trying to think of who else would be famous.
But they all still sound really good. Because like the guy who does Kermit the Frog now, I don't think sounds the same.
No, he does not.
Was that his son?
For a little while it was his son, but it's not anymore. There's a celebrity who does the voice of Roo. I don't know about in the movie, but back in the old days when they were making a lot of Winnie the Pooh animated film/cartoons. Do you know who that was? You know who the voice of Roo was?
Audrey Meadows.
That's the worst guess in history. Audrey Meadows.
I have no idea.
What can I tell you
How
about
How would I
him?
Know?
His brother, this'll knock it in. His brother is a famous director.
I don't know.
Clint Howard.
Really?
Yeah. He did a bunch. He was also
really
Sonny the Elephant in Jungle Book. Yeah, he's all over the place, Clint Howard.
I didn't
Howard.
Know that.
Yeah. He's the only one, I believe, who's still alive from the original voices. So I don't, maybe they use him in the movie. I don't know.
You know, I hate to interrupt you. Actually, I don't care. But I thought of someone who actually is a cartoon who wears pants.
Well, some cartoon guys do wear pants, but a lot of them
but
don't.
But this isn't a guy. This is SpongeBob. he does wear pants.
Right. And he has square pants.
Yeah. Squidward does not wear pants.
Yeah, I think it's an option if you are an animated cartoon character. It's up to you if you want to wear pants
Paddington
or not.
Bear does not wear pants.
Paddington Bear does not.
But he has a slicker and a hat. Again, if you accessorize, you don't need the pants.
Right. That's the belief that no one will notice you're not wearing pants if you're wearing overalls or a star or a bell or a bow tie.
Huckleberry Hound.
Huckleberry Hound does not wear pants.
Nope.
Snagglepuss does not wear pants.
Donald Duck, as you mentioned.
Donald Duck, the most famous non-pants-wearing member of the animated community.
Wally Gator?
No pants.
No pants, but a hat.
Right.
Winnie the Pooh. And Winnie the Pooh is the one who really started the whole midriff top thing going.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks good on him.
He pulls
it off.
He should pull it off. He needs a little longer one. You know how Donald Trump has a longer tie?
Right. He should wear a more form-fitting shirt.
Well, he just needs to cover up that honeypot of a belly. Pink Panther does not wear pants.
No pants.
Top Cat, no pants, but a vest.
I don't think anyone in the Top Cat gang wore pants. Benny the Ball did not wear pants. You can make up your own joke there if you prefer.
Chip and Dale,
no pants for either of them.
Porky Pig.
Porky Pig did not wear pants.
No pants.
Daffy Duck did not wear pants.
Pants.
The Seven Dwarves wore pants unless it was their day off.
Puss in Boots from Shrek, no pants, but boots. That
but
almost
the dwarves
come up.
Are people, and these are other ones are animals. Does that make a difference?
So the rule is, Kim, I believe, if you're an animated animal who is a non-human, you have the option to not wear pants. But if you're an animated human,
you have
like,
to wear pants.
What if Barney Rubble just didn't wear pants?
Well, he really didn't.
It was a dress.
It was a dress.
Kinda.
Oh, I guess. It was kind of a house coaty thing, right?
Well, it was a moo-moo.
It was made out of tiger skin or whatever.
He taught me that when you laugh, what you want to do is make your shoulders go up and down. You want your shoulders always bouncing when laughing.
And your toes have to, like, twinkle.
Yes. Well, if you're sneaking up on someone or bowling, you must
twinkle. Why is it that bowl? I know we saw one episode with Fred bowling, and that's the first thing that comes in my mind. But I'm sure Fred tiptoed away from Barney, but I don't think of that. I only think of the bowling
when he bowls.
Scene.
Yeah, right, right. I think he bowled in several episodes because he was with that group of guys.
The Water Buffaloes.
The Water Buffaloes, yeah.
They had their own bowling league.
Yeah.
And that's how he'd get away from Wilma.
Right.
Got to get out of the house. Oh, you had it so tough, Fred. She cooked for you, cleaned for you.
And brought you that huge brontosaurus steak.
Yeah.
All the time. Do you remember where you were when you realized that the Flintstones was just a ripoff of the Honeymooners? They just totally.
I think you told me that last year.
They
other
just
than
totally
that, I
ripped
didn't
it
know.
Off. Everything about the Flintstones is the Honeymooners.
You just busted my bubble just now. I never thought about that.
Kim, it's all it is
the same thing.
It's prehistoric
it
version, but it's the Honeymooners.
But
that's
when you're
it
a kid and you're watching it, you may have seen your mom or dad watch the Honeymooners a couple of times, but you wouldn't have connected that at all, other than you, because you're ambidextrous.
Well, that has nothing to do with me being ambidextrous. I mean, it helped, but it's not. But I think it's because of the Water Buffaloes, because I had watched an episode of The Honeymooners, because Ralph Cramden, was in a similar group, right?
What was his?
Oh.
Did they wear a furry hat?
Yes.
Yes.
Like a Shriner?
Yes.
But it wasn't the Water Buffalo. How can you not remember this?
I can't remember.
You're getting weak.
But it was him and Art Carney was also in the group. And then 2 days later, I'm watching the Flintstones, and those guys are in the Water Buffaloes. And I went, hey, wait a minute.
Wasn't it just the Lodge?
No, it had a name. I'm not sure.
The Raccoon Lodge.
The Raccoon Lodge.
I was half right. You were nothing. Like, you didn't even
thank
know.
You.
Go into the weekend with that, Wendy.
Wow.
Listen, wow. Bill, it all started yesterday where we had a guest who made you doubt yourself, which I didn't like to see because I don't want to be in a world where Bill Leff is wrong.
Well, thank you.
Everything's going to go terribly wrong.
Thank you.
I witnessed that firsthand. He actually handled it quite well.
Well, because Bill was right.
No, I know, but even for the second that he thought he might have been wrong.
He handled it
gracefully with the guest.
For people who don't know, we had a guest on yesterday whose name is Steve Douglas. And as all guests do, when they come in, I said to the guest, if it applies, I said, hi, Steve, it's nice to meet you. By the way, you have the exact same name as Fred McMurray in My Three Sons. And he goes, yeah, many people have told me that. He said, and as a matter of fact, there were two other shows of that era where the family's last name was Douglas. And I said, well, Green Acres, because that's
Oliver.
Yeah. So I said, that's one. And I go, and the other one, and then I just froze.
I know.
I go, oh, I don't know what the other one was. So all during the interview, and Wendy, you know this, I was inoperable because all I could do was try to think of the answer to that question.
I know it was bugging you.
It was killing me.
But it turns out he ended up saying from Father Knows Best.
Yeah, and that was the Anderson family. That was Jim and Margaret Anderson.
So you were right. He was wrong. And it was worrying me. Something was, you know, the time-space continuum would have been off had you been wrong.
Thank you.
You did doubt yourself for a minute, and now you couldn't.
It wasn't doubting myself. I was racking my brain. I was going through every show I could think of, and no one's last name was Douglas. I didn't want to be wrong, but I accepted it if I was wrong. But as it turned out, I was not.
And Dave, that's why he couldn't think of Ralph and Norton's.
The raccoons.
Yeah, the Raccoon Lodge.
Yeah.
Where they wore a raccoon skin cap and kind of a uniform similar to Fraser Thomas's, on you know.
Yes.
You know, with the epaulets and
Yes.
And such.
And didn't they both have, both on the Honeymooners and the Flintstones, wasn't there someone who was designated as the Grand Poobah?
I don't know what the term for the I know Grand Poobah was the Flintstones. I'm not sure what the leader was for the Raccoon Lodge.
Oh, all right. What do you remember when you realized at some point I'm watching the same show, The Honeymooners and the Flintstones, that are kind of the same show?
Probably, you know, 30 or more years ago, but it took me a while to realize on another joke that in the Prince Midas episode of Fractured Fairy Tales, that they were, when he turns the dean of the dentist school to gold, Prince Midas, and says, "Oh, Dean, what have I done to you, Dean?" That was Jerry Lewis.
That's beautiful. Well, thank you. We appreciate that. Have a great weekend, Dave.
Thank you much. Keep Take your care. Powder dry.
All right. Thank you. I just remember sitting there going, what other shows am I watching right now that have just been blatantly ripped off from old TV shows? Am I watching other cars? Is Scooby-Doo the Donna Reed show and then nobody alerted me to this? Let's take a quick break and then there's more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. We're talking about animated characters and their propensity to not wear pants.
Yes, and Sue has called us. We had mentioned Donald Duck was one of the ones that doesn't wear pants. And Sue?
Yes?
You wanted to add something?
Well, with all due respect to you, Wendy, I think Bill might have the answer to this.
Hmm.
If Donald Duck doesn't wear pants, why does he always wrap a towel around his waist when he gets out of the shower?
You do see that a lot, don't you?
Yes, you do.
Thank you. Have a great weekend. We'd keep you on longer, but I can't handle the echo.
So he's modest, but not overly modest. He's still on a daily basis, as he looks through his closet, goes, "I'll go with the sailor top, and let's try the no pants again and see how it looks."
All right, and Jerry thinks that he's going to stump you. We should make this a regular feature, because I believe Bill Leff is unstumpable.
Oh, no, I can be stumped. I can be. But, Jerry, go ahead. What was your question?
I just wonder if you know what the password to Fred and Barney's lodge was.
I don't remember. What was it?
And it was so stupid. It was ack, ack a dack, dack, dack a ack.
Isn't it both beautiful and tragic that all these years later you still remember that?
That's all I remember is the stupid thing.
All right, so when Fred and Barney want to get into the lodge, they say what, Jerry? What's their phrase?
They say ack, ack a dack, dack, dack a ack.
Beautiful. Thanks so much, Jerry. Have a good weekend.
Okay.
All right, getting back to the Honeymooners, because you can kind of interchange the Flintstones and the Honeymooners.
The Flintstones ripped off everything about them. So that's all the Honeymooners, just in prehistoric times.
Some lodge information, membership requirements. You had to be a U.S. citizen for the last 6 months, have a public school diploma, and pay $1.50 initiation fee.
Mm-hmm.
The Raccoon of the Year got privileges, for instance, opening the first clam at the annual clam bake.
Nice.
Steering the boat on the annual ride up the Hudson River to Raccoon Point. Free burial with spouse at Raccoon National Cemetery in Bismarck, North Dakota.
Nice.
An opportunity to run for Grand High Exalted Mystic Ruler. So it wasn't the Grand Poobah.
It wasn't Poobah for them. It was Grand High Exalted Mystic Ruler.
Throwing the first bag of water out of the hotel window at the Raccoon Convention. And they had an annual national convention in Chicago and Minneapolis.
Oh, nice.
Did you know that?
No, I did not know that.
Drinking toast, fingers to fingers, thumbs to thumbs. Watch out, stomach. Here she comes.
Oh, I remember that.
And there was one other thing I was going to tell you. They had a bowling team. The Raccoon Lodge had a bowling team, yeah. which we saw.
Yeah.
Any idea what the name of the bowling team was?
I don't remember that either. What is it?
The Hurricanes.
The Hurricanes. Very good. We'll do this. Well, oh, we're closing it off next. Wendy and I are headed toward the stream, but Steve Bertrand will be here. Do we have time?
No breaks. We have no breaks. So I don't know if engineers are ready for us to talk to. My bet would be no.
Can I just throw out a quick Flintstones thing really quickly? One of my friends, who is also a huge Flintstones fan, his favorite episode of the Flintstones was their Christmas episode. And he said, and then one day he realized, and I don't know why we didn't all realize this, he said the Flintstones realistically would not be celebrating Christmas because they were in prehistoric times, and then biblical times came after prehistoric times. So on the Flintstones, for them to have celebrated Christmas, even though it was his favorite episode, he felt was a waste of time. That's what he found fake about the Flintstones. Everything else he was on board with.
Yeah.
The fact that the dishwasher was a dinosaur whose snout you had to take through the wall.
The record player I loved. It was the beak.
The bird. Yeah. He was fine with all that.
That's funny.
Also, do you remember that Dino could talk in the first episode?
Yes.
He had a very affected accent. But then in the rest of the episodes, he could not talk anymore.
Boy, you know what? I just like to watch TV to escape.
Not me. I watch it to learn.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
I believe we're going to the stream. That's just
a given.
And but Steve Bertrand is going to be helping you to the Wintrust Business Lunch.